Welcome back to the Clear Voice podcast. I have to say, I am extremely relieved that now the weather has turned sunny again, because before, when we hadn't had sun for approximately 5 or 6 days, I was pretty much losing the will to live. But now the sun has returned and I'm back with goodwill, optimism, full of ideas, and most importantly, vitamin D. Just how I like to be. Anyway, this week, my main discovery has been the Huji app. If you haven't already come across it, I would seriously recommend downloading it. Good points are incredibly flattering photos and a massive dose of nostalgia from the 90s. Bad points, you will never be able to take a photo without it again. So do think, because with great power comes great responsibility, as we know from Spider-Man. This week, I spoke to Hayat Rachi, who is the founder and CEO of the badass lingerie company for badass women, Neon Moon. She is super, super cool, and she talks about how her journey started when she was fired from her incredibly misogynist previous company, who wanted her to wear heels and a skirt every day rather than the other clothes that she was wearing, which she will explain more about. She makes feminist lingerie, which doesn't necessarily look how you might think it would look. And we talk a little bit about that. So let's get into it. This week we have Hayat Rachi. Hello, Hayat. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And just explain what you do, your message, and what you're about.
So I'm CEO and founder of Neon Moon, which is a badass underwear brand for badass women. We're all about inclusivity and not fitting in and being generally the misfits of the lingerie world, which I set up around 5 years ago with the help of the Prince's Trust. And then launched it on Kickstarter, where we were overfunded and went viral all across the world. And yeah, it's been a viral sensation ever since.
It's amazing. And it's beautiful underwear and it's very different. When I first heard about it, I thought, oh, badass underwear for badass women. That's got to be like dominatrixy or, you know, like, but actually, but it's very much not.
Yeah, it's pretty much is comfort first. We believe in just loving your lumps and bumps and your boobs and your bum. And yeah, not necessarily all about the dominatrix sexualized side, which the lingerie industry tends to perpetuate. But we're all about just feeling yourself and feeling great in the body that you have.
Amazing. All about that. And so what is your relationship with your voice?
So that's been an interesting one. I guess there's the physical and metaphorical aspect. So growing up, I guess, poor and on a council estate, firstly, I had an interview voice and I had my actual voice, which was very interesting.
Can we hear them?
So I think now this is probably my interview voice. And then Okay. Sometimes I can get a bit more, a little bit more like Cockney sometimes. I don't know how it happens. As when I'm around my dad, especially, it just comes out of me, like literally just comes out of me. So there's that. And also, I guess in terms of, not many people know this, but I used to sing as well. I used to be a classical soprano because I won a scholarship as a kid to attend some prestigious music school.
Wow.
So yeah, that was my first foray into meeting, I guess, rich people, posh people, and be like, oh, they're actually just like me. That's really nice.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Like I was brought up to think that they were the devil and rich people were awful, but being around them, I was like, oh, they're actually really nice. So there was that. And I guess now, late 20s, I've really come into my voice, which is being authentically me, being really honest and open and being vulnerable, especially as a woman. I think it's really important for me to personally embrace who I am and what I'm about.
And who are you and what are you about? You walked into that one.
Oh, God. Yeah, I really did.
Sorry.
I would say that I'm a very outspoken person who just doesn't really get offended easily. I'm all about creating change in the world. That's why I created Neon Moon, to be super disruptive and feminist and be in your face and ballsy, which most people don't have the character or the voice in order to do that. Mm. And I think it's very easy to hide what you really believe in, or at least society wants you to hide that. But actually, no, I would say I'm very like characterful. And I'm a woman of few words, and yeah, I would say that I would like to ultimately leave this world more positive than I found it. And if me being in business and me being, you know, an Arab woman who came from nothing to something, impacts like a kid to do whatever they want to do and feel comfortable doing it, that would be an amazing legacy.
Amazing legacy. And what you were saying about Neon Moon being a disruptive brand, I've never come across a brand of any sort that has such incredible content and content that I'm like, this brand sees me. Your blogs are amazing. One of my favorites was something like, dear old middle class white man, please stop talking down to me or talking over me. And I think it's amazing that I think some brands see a gap in the market and they're like, oh, we're going to exploit that. But I feel like Neon Moon is that gap and really is living that, and you stand by it and it is within every part of your business.
Exactly that. I can't work with or hire anyone that isn't living and breathing the brand. And I would say it's pretty simple. So like you said, we have amazing blogs on our platform, and in us having a voice and having so many journalists and so much press that always keeps on top of what we're doing, we actually give our customers and our supporters a voice. So that blog that you had mentioned is a guest post from a person who supports Neon Moon. So through us having our platform, we're actually able to give not only our customers, but our supporters their voice, because they are not heard and they are like really angry at certain things. And it makes sense. Like, damn, like if one person's angry at something and not being heard, I think like hundreds or if thousands of people are probably thinking the exact same thing. So yeah, the brand essence is everything to me. I live and breathe it. And there is no other person who's associated with Neon Moon who doesn't. And I think that keeps us very authentic. And obviously we're a profitable business, but at the end of the day, we need to be with and surrounded by people who live and breathe our, I guess, brand values.
Definitely. And so was there a time where you felt you didn't have a voice?
Definitely. Firstly, as a woman. And I had worked a string of jobs before I set up Neon Moon. I have a pretty good knack for getting fired. So there was one job at the end where I did not have a voice for Love Nor Money Flow. And I was one of the best saleswomen on that floor. It was in recruitment consulting. And we were working with people who were making, you know, like 200K salaries. And, you know, the commission for me was amazing. However, when I tried to speak about, for example, my dress sense, because I don't really like skirts and dresses much. I'm now kind of coming into it. But then they would just kept calling me up on it and wanting me to wear heels and wanting me. Yeah. And apparently it's still legal, actually. If a male employee wants a woman to wear heels in the workplace, it's actually legal in the UK. Which is crazy. So when I tried to put my view across, which was essentially I work more effectively and productively when I wear certain clothes, for example, very nice ballet shoes and trousers, it was just overlooked. And then I was practically fired for it. So I just felt like my voice wasn't heard at all. And that really was the one job that I was fired from that made me think I'm never working for anyone ever again, because that just really took its toll on me. And it's so sad when I think the amount of women that must be out there that are putting up with an absolute, like, just awful boss in order to pay the bills and, you know, pay the mortgage and stuff, and not having their voice heard and maybe overlooked, or another colleague taking their ideas and taking their limelight. It's just so sad. So Yeah, I would say that was fundamentally the one time when my voice was overlooked, overheard. And ever since, if anyone ever does that to me, I call it out there and then. I don't work with people who look down on me for any reason. And if I don't feel like I'm being listened to, that's it. I'm out the door.
Yes. Amazing.
It's true.
It still baffles me that in this day and age, we have people, generally men. I've never heard a case where there has been female senior management telling women to wear heels. Please send some in. I would love to read it. Yeah, when we have men telling women that they have to A, wear certain things, and B, wear things that are uncomfortable, painful, and oppressive. It is so fucked up. It makes me so unbelievably angry. If it was the other way around, well, it wouldn't happen. And I think it's symbolic of other oppressions. Like, that is something that's happening in the workplace. What is happening on other levels in our society?
Yeah, exactly. And we just don't speak about it, unfortunately. Or people who are working in those jobs, they just can't, because they feel like they would be reprimanded for being honest or being like a whistleblower, because they rely on that job. So
what happened when you tried to raise the issue?
What happened was, well, they kept calling me in for meetings. They were like, hey, your dress code is inappropriate. And I said,
that's just you are not wearing heels?
Essentially. Oh. Because they said that, because all the other women, you know, granted it was in the city, which is very male orientated. About 10% of us were women. Majority of the women were in admin. I wasn't. I was on the sales floor. They essentially had mentioned, and they actually gave me a gift voucher for TM Lewin. Which was not very subtle, because it got to like the second meeting and then they slid it across the desk and they were like, here's a gift voucher for TM Lewin. You know, we didn't know if you could, you know, if you had the money or what was it that's like stopping you from buying it. Like, so then I bought a really nice scarf and I still have that scarf. I actually wore it here today. And I love that scarf and what it symbolizes to me. But I absolutely refused. So there's nothing they can do, and they can actually hold it against you, which is abysmal.
It is abysmal. Side note, I don't know anyone that would ever buy shoes at TM Lewin that is a female, let alone heels. Clueless.
I know, but there were skirts there, so I was like, oh, I get it, okay. But I really like the scarf, so there we are.
Amazing. That still baffles me. And so when, for you, in that situation, was the only thing that you could do would be to quit?
No, I didn't quit. I stayed.
Ah.
I'm very stubborn. So, you know, I stayed, but I didn't wear I wore my trousers and my flats. You know, I stayed until I got fired and had my severance pay. The severance pay that they paid me actually essentially paid for Neon Moon the first year.
Wow.
Yeah, which I'm very open about. And I said, if it wasn't for that severance pay, I would never have been able to afford setting up a business. Obviously the help of the Prince's Trust was amazing, but you know, you need cash. So that really helped.
And did you ultimately get fired because of the dress sense?
You know, when it's one of those reasons where they're like, well, you know, it's kind of like a mix of your performance and your team morale, and like, you know, and I was like, is this because of what you've been calling me in for, which is my dress sense? They couldn't explicitly say it, but implicitly it was like, okay, I understand. And I was like, no, I don't like this. I don't want this for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, swiftly moving on, when is a time when you have felt like you really have had a voice?
I would say now, to be honest. I would say now. I'm in a very lucky position where people actually do want to hear what I have to say, which is wild to me, but it's really nice. It's really nice. And being able to use Neon Moon's platform and Neon Moon's growth as a bolster for bringing up topics that most people don't want to talk about is really important to me, because, you know, for example, on our Instagram, we tend to speak about feminist issues like, you know, abortion, about any sort of like issues that are usually, you know, moved under the rug. So yeah, I would say now is a time when not only personally do I feel the most comfortable in myself, to be very honest, but also business-wise, I would say I am more willing to call people out and call businesses out which aren't doing the right thing, and also be very transparent with our business and make sure that everyone is involved, who is involved in our community, is along for the ride, and it be very honest and always being sharing about that element. Because it's very easy for a person to set up a business and never show their face or have a voice. But I didn't want that. I wanted people to be involved like a family. If you buy a Neon Moon product, you're not just buying another bra or a knicker. You're actually buying something and voting with your pounds. You're part of our family. You're part of this movement towards creating a lingerie brand that doesn't, you know, sexualize or objectify women, because those days are long gone. And God, I can't wait until those other brands just stop doing this crap.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. And I think what is also so cool about Neon Moon is that you're bucking that trend, but you're still doing it with feminine products. You can be a feminist, you can be empowered, but you don't have to like not wear underwear or wear underwear that you don't like. You can feel empowered, and then having that balance of femininity and then speaking about the issues that are so often categorized as like unladylike to speak about, I think it's a really powerful combination, and I think it's very engaging for a lot of women.
Yeah, completely, because it's just rare and authentic and real. Like you can't knock down real. If a person's just real or a brand is real and be like, look, this is what we are, like it or lump it, you kind of respect that. Because there are many other lingerie brands out there. If you want something pink and frilly, believe me, you can just find, like, walk into a lingerie shop, you'll find it. You definitely won't find it on Neon Moon, because we're just all about a different sort of kettle of fish, which is, if you feel like you've been not listened to, you feel like you're a misfit, you feel like society has been like dragging you down or just judging you, we are the place for you, because we make you feel good. And I think that's always the brand that I wanted to create, really, which is my own personal kind of like insecurities, but put that in a brand that make like thousands and hopefully millions of women feel amazing. Like, why not?
Absolutely, totally. And so following on from what you said about everyone within the company and the brand being along for the ride, so to speak, I saw you post something recently about not exploiting one group of women in order to empower another. I haven't quoted you correctly. Go for it.
No, it's pretty much spot on, which is we don't exploit women in one country to empower them in another. That's Neon Moon's promise and mantra to our customers. And ironically, I was kind of exploited because that phrase or quote was taken by another brand and they tried to claim it. And I had to trawl the internet for like 2014 posts when I said that. And found it in like Dazed and Confused interview that I did, and it was in there. So I was like, ha, there you go. Now stop it.
Yeah, it's baffling how one company can be like, oh, that's really good. Yeah, no, I'll take that. Like, come on.
I know. Like, if you find the sentence anywhere that's kind of famous, usually someone has said it. So you should really just credit them. But luckily, I guess my outspokenness got it sorted, which is nice. And, you know, I appreciate that brand for being so understanding and taking it down and crediting me appropriately. But yeah, essentially it is about not exploiting women in one country to empower them in another, which I've never understood. So, you know, you'll find so many other lingerie brands, for example, who have followed Neon Moon's brand values and beliefs and try to be body positive and feminist and things, but then they have like a really dodgy supply chain, or they maybe have like other offices in different countries where you potentially could have issues. So it's like, well, are you treating your staff well? Is it still kind of like, are there women on your board? Like, are you listening to the women in your team? It's again, like, listen, listen, listen. Stop copying and just, how about just listen to your customers or to the women? This is why I find it so ironic. And this is why I'm so excited about the future, because now there are women having like podcasts, there are women having businesses, there are women owning, you know, certain industries that were very male dominated. So that means that the demand will intend to be like listened to and then created through that. So for example, for us, women, our customers, they just hate underwire bra. You know, they'll be like, oh, I'll probably buy it from a different brand, wear it to work. And then whoop, like the minute I get home, it's off. Like there is no way I'm sitting in it. And it was like, oh, okay. So I listened to that, created a range that was completely comfortable to a point where it's supportive and comfortable and keeps you supported all day long. So again, it's a bestseller. Yeah. It's just about listening to what your customers are saying and essentially giving them what they want, which sounds so simple, but unfortunately some industry, some brands which are heavily male dominated, they tend not to listen to the women who their customers are, which is wild. Definitely. To me.
Yeah, and I think I completely agree with you. It's something Mary Portis talks about as well, as this kind of alpha culture. And although the boards might listen to an extent, it is only to an extent, because after that there's an overriding feeling of, no, I'm right and I want to do this, and that kind of hubris, which ultimately makes the product less useful for everyone. It would make them more money if they made a product that everyone wanted.
Yeah, exactly. And it would be more innovative. And yeah, I totally understand that there are biases from some people who they tend to listen or will listen to a certain point, whether it be bias against whatever, gender, race, age, whatever. I've seen it all. So just being a bit mindful and saying, do I have a bias against this person? Is there potentially? Because, you know, it could just be the fact that you've been brought up a different way and, you know, haven't been taught to listen to other people who are different from you. You know, apparently people, they tend, like psychologically, they tend to go around people who are more like themselves or look like themselves or have friends who look like themselves or intend. So yeah, I think it's just being a bit more conscious about that is so important.
Definitely. And also to go back to what you're saying about customers having the power and voting with the pound, when I read your quote about not exploiting women in one country to empower them in another, it really struck a chord within me that I hadn't ever thought about it quite like that. And I think that's a problem in itself, that I am well into my 20s and I think of myself as a very conscious consumer. But why had I not thought about that? And I'm not going out and buying things from Primark and I'm trying to make better choices. But still, that wasn't in my mind. And now that is very much in my mind. So thank you.
You're very welcome. But yeah, it's an interesting one. So firstly, I would say don't be so hard on yourself if you didn't think about it, because society is not meant, is society and branding and advertising of big brands are not meant to put you on a path that would make you be mindful in a weird way. It's kind of like everything that they're geared towards is consumerism. And obviously I have a brand, so I'm not against consumerism. However, I'm against just mindless, careless consumerism. They don't want you to think about where it's come from. And it's the same with all industries. It's the same with like the meat industry.
Absolutely.
They don't want you to think about the little chicken before you eat your chicken dinner. You know, it's the same thing. They want to like hide away the bad stuff. You know, like, oh, fashion is so glittery and nice. That's why it's so funny whenever I'm around an intern. And they're so excited to be in the lingerie world or the fashion world. And they're like, oh, it's going to be so glamorous. And I'm like, you know, it isn't. It is not glamorous at all. You know, it's a lot of hard work. But yeah, I think it's all about, once you know something, to do better, only when you know to do better. Mm. Otherwise, just be kind on yourself. And, you know, if you can't, for example, if you can't buy from a brand like Neon Moon at the minute, but you can only afford Primark, that's okay too. It's just about being kind to yourself right now. And when you can afford it, then it's cool. Like, we're here.
And I will be there. Nice. And So how are you using your voice for change now?
So now I would say it's more revolved around my team. It's less so about me as an individual. Obviously, I have my own sort of like personal branding that I want to build in terms of business and things. But I would say it's more about, where do I want Neon Moon to go next? Neon Moon is the one thing that will really impact so many different women across the world. We have like thousands of customers all over the world, and international press and just everything, which is amazing. So having that attention means that we can either do good or do bad, and doing good and being honest is what we're all about. We want to make people think, we want to disrupt the market, we want people to actually question why they buy or what they're buying. You know, why does, you know, an underwire bra make you feel sexy as opposed to a triangle bra? You know, just little questions like that. We really want to question it and make people fully informed before they purchase and be along for that fun ride. And luckily now Neon Moon's working with a new designer, because so far it's only been me who's been designing really, and the next collection is going to be absolutely amazing. So it's going to be able to impact so many more women in a positive way.
That's so exciting. And also within your supply chain, you're also empowering women as well, right? By giving them jobs that aren't exploiting them, aren't sweatshops, etc., etc.
Yeah, exactly. And next year, there's going to be a few more changes, which are super exciting. I can't speak about them right now, but if it works, it's going to be a huge game changer here in the UK and the lingerie industry. So I just can't wait to have more of a positive impact on women here in the UK, especially because the manufacturing scene is just absolutely dying. So
yeah,
I'm hoping that we can help change that.
Very exciting. That's really exciting. And who are the women that inspire you?
The woman that inspires me the most is Villanelle.
Oh, yes.
From Killing Eve. Yeah. I don't know how Phoebe Wallis is so amazing in how she creates characters and directs these programs like Fleabag and Killing Eve. But Villanelle is just is an amazing woman who makes me think, yeah, just like take on each day as they come. Mm. Just like, you know, just get disruptive and kill people, like not, you know, physically, but metaphorically. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. But yeah, and also be a bit like sassy and just own it. And that's what she's all about. She just owns who she is, and she's a bit messed up, but she's okay with that. And she's vulnerable at times, but also she's just not. And I just love that. So good.
So good. And it's so great that she's a badass woman, and she's just allowed to be who she is, rather than having to be a sex object like Lara Croft. I always think about, like, oh, why can't we have like female James Bonds? Oh yeah, no, we've got Lara Croft. Great. Yeah. Brilliant. You know, but the Villanelle is like, she's so cool.
Yeah, she's so cool and so badass, like you said. And yeah, she just doesn't really, if she wants to sexualize herself, she can.
Yeah.
If she wants to put on the pink dress, she can. Like, she rocks whatever she wants, and she's very like fearless, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah, and no one messes with her.
No, you do not. No.
Hey, it's been such a joy to have you here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Clear Voice podcast. Now, next week, episode 10, it is the last episode in the series. I know. Dry your tears. Dry them. It's okay. There'll be another one. But before then, we've got to do the last one. And it's going to be a special one. From yours truly, I will be having a little bit of a different chat this week with just myself. Yes. Little on me. And I'm going to be discussing lots of different things. My favourite women from this year, my favourite feminist commentaries on this year, and a new section on what to do when you don't know what to say. Something like, for example, you're a female rugby player and an older male referee comes to you and says, oh, should you really be here? Won't you mess up your pretty little face playing rugby? And obviously, all you want to say is, fuck off. But that's not always appropriate. To be honest, I'm not sure that was appropriate for me to say it then. But there you go. So if you have anything that you'd like me to discuss, any vocal dilemmas or any questions about The Voice and how to use it, hit me up. It's clearvoicelondon@gmail.com and I'll see you then.